Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Sorry we're late. Shit. I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry. And sorry we're late.
you know you're listening to Show Me Scares when we can't even get through the
intro.
Oh, jeez. So, sorry we're late. We will talk about why we're late afterwards so we're not chitty-chatty too much at the beginning and make people say mean things and leave.
Or leave before they listen.
Yeah. So, we had the pleasure of having a personal tour of the Gilloy's Theater here in Springfield a few weeks ago, a month ago, something like that. I have had been to the Gilloy's before for a show.
A show.
So that's where I saw and met Amy and Adam from Kindred Spirits. And I was in love with that place after being there. And I've heard stories for years about the Gilloy's being haunted. It's an old theater, so of course it's haunted. All of them are.
For real.
So we'll probably do some more theaters, actually, along the way, I'm sure. This theater, like I said, is kind of special to me because I was there meeting people who I would look up to a great deal in the paranormal field, and they actually were saying things about, oh, there's some stuff going on here, like this theater's definitely haunted. So that was really fun, and I couldn't wait to get back in there and tour that. It was you and me and Dad, and Joy and Mr. Steele. What was his name? Jeff?
I can't remember.
Oh, I'm going to be... I don't remember either. Still. They were absolutely amazing, and we loved them, and we thank them for doing that tour for us. So, if we tell the story of the Gilloy's Theater, we really have to tell the story of... Not really the story. I'm not going to go into it, but Route 66, the Mother Road, right?
Yep.
We'll talk a lot more about Route 66, but it's a big deal in downtown Springfield because it ran right through downtown Springfield, and we have the Route 66 Festival every year, unless there's COVID pandemic, then we don't.
We don't have nothing.
But along Route 66, these theaters sprang up, and the Gilloy's just happened to be one of them. It was built by M.E. Gilloy's. M.E. not Emmy.
That's a funny name for a guy.
That's what I thought the whole time until I saw like it spelled out. I was like,
oh,
why is his name Emmy? Yeah, so he was a bridge builder, like I said, from Monette, and he wasn't really into the theater, but a friend of his wanted to build a theater and didn't have any money, and Emmy did, so he got him to invest, build this theater. And M.E. thought he would just flip it and get out. But he really enjoyed the theater and really got into it. So he didn't want to get rid of it.
So he stuck around with it, huh?
He did. So M.E. was very interesting. He was a successful businessman, but he also sold illegal alcohol. It was the 20s, of course, Prohibition. And we heard some pretty interesting stories. I'm not going to talk a lot about him just because that's their thing. And I think they should tell you and you should go and get a tour. Anyway, the cool thing about him being a bridge builder, though, is he constructed this building from what he knew, which is steel and concrete. The only things that are wooden in that building are the doors, the banisters, the armrests on the seats, and some baseboards.
So it?
Yeah. it stood the test good of bones, time.
For sure.
Yes, and that those good bones helped make it a little bit easier when they start bringing it back after it had fallen into disrepair. It didn't fall completely apart because mm-hmm. of that. Luckily. So, Route 66.
Back to it.
Got it?
Got it.
ME desperately wanted an address on Route 66. So, all of that area was pretty much developed. The front area of the theater, like when you first walk in the doors, that gorgeous lobby, it was a laundromat. And he bought the undeveloped space behind the laundromat to build the theater. And then he leased that space, which was the laundromat at the time, for 100 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lengthy lease. And just so he could have frontage on Route 66.
It worked. Very good idea. Yeah.
So
that explains why it's so long when you walk in.
Uh-huh.
It's so pretty.
And it was leased the whole time he was alive. When we were there, they had a sign out front, rest in peace, Jim Morris. And that man was the first one who actually owned that piece of the building, actually owned the theater from the front to the back.
That's awesome.
And he bought that in the 80s. He bought that front area. I think it was 80s, something like that. It opened August 11th, 1926. And interesting, think about back then, the kind of entertainment, let's say, that folks had wasn't a lot. not a lot at all. So the first show that they did in the theater was actually a World Series game that had been played the night before.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I bet a lot of people came to that.
They did. And he talks about how, you know, Dad pointed out, I bet they were dressed to the nines. And he's like, oh, you know, they were. Sure. It was a big deal to go to the theater. And so, I mean, today we think, how funny is that? Like, why would you go watch a game that was played yesterday? Mm-hmm. Like, you know the ending, maybe.
But half of the people don't.
They had probably never seen a game before.
Yeah, never had TV or anything like that. So
they didn't. So it was interesting. I mean, it's cool. Interesting now, I guess.
It's interesting how much things have changed.
Yeah, for sure. But
that's cool.
Yeah. the theater. It started off as vaudeville and silent films. And then after talkies came to be, it just showed movies. Mm-hmm. And now they have concerts, comedians, Amy and Adam of Kindred Spirits. They have a lot of things. And they're showing movies and stuff now to try to get through COVID, which has hit them very hard. We're coming into the year mark of COVID, and think that they haven't had a revenue stream for a year.
Like, that hurts.
Yeah. And so I've been looking on their website to see shows and stuff that I might be interested in to go and see, just to support them. I mean, woof.
Mm-hmm. I actually talked to her about volunteering when they
opened
back up.
Yeah, I know you did.
I'm cute. Excited. Oh my gosh.
So it's really cool theater, because the interesting thing about the theater is if you sit at the very back, the worst seat in the house, you are 98 feet away from the stage. That's it. Less than 100 feet away from the entertainer in the worst scene in the house.
I'll take it.
Right? It's so intimate and so nice. And they actually say that a lot of the entertainers actually love entertaining there because of how close everyone is. Mm-hmm. And once I was in there, I want to come to concerts here. I mean, mm-hmm. You can't have a bad seat.
Right.
So we're going to do that.
All right. I'm down.
Anyway, so the theater actually closed in 1980. In the 70s, malls sprang up. Theater started to be affected because people moved out of the downtown areas. And Route 66 wasn't really a thing. People weren't traveling on Route 66.
Heart.
Yeah. So the theater was no different, and it closed in 1980, and it really did fall into disrepair. During the time of its heyday, though, they actually premiered two Ronald Reagan films.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And one of those films, the stars actually came to Springfield for the premiere. That's cool. It's really cool. Ronald and Nancy, who was his new wife at the time. Go, Nancy. They were actually in town for the premiere, and there was a parade and all that.
That's big.
Yeah, that would be a big deal. So that was really cool, I thought. There was three or four total premieres. I want to say three, but maybe four. So that's just really cool anyway, that they had premieres actually at the theater. They've had about, I think he said, three paranormal groups that have come in and investigated. As far as historical goes, I'll plant some seeds of history throughout what we talk about ghost stories, but we were there for the ghost stories. We got the ghost stories. And history is, it opened in 1926. It ran until 1980. It fell into disrepair for 26 years. And after like $12 million or something, I want to say is what he said, they reopened in 2006, and it was like, it was brought back to its former glory. I mean, you saw it. It's beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
And the idea was to make it look exactly like it did in 1926.
They did good.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I love that building so much. Three paranormal groups have investigated. I don't know if we can call them professionals, but I just mean, because can you be a professional in a field that nobody really knows exists?
I don't know.
So there's that. But they, he talked about, he investigated with one of the groups at least, because he doesn't leave people alone in there. Obviously, I wouldn't either. And they could see kind of some shadow movement on the stage and things like that, just moving around while they were up in the seating area. And the cool thing, what he liked about this one group in particular, he didn't say who they were, I would just say that, is they were able to debunk a lot of things.
That's good.
So they could, they noticed how the lights moved weird in there, bounced off of things and stuff like that. And so they were actually able to debunk a lot. But he did say there were some things we just could not debunk, no matter how hard we tried. So that's fun too. He told this story. He's somewhat of a skeptic, and
he's a big skeptic.
Yeah,
I mean,
so he tells one story. I really liked the story. He was standing on one side of the seats, like all the way against the wall on one side, and he was standing behind the guy with the camera. And he said the guy had an IR camera or something. It had kind of weird colors. I'm thinking it may have been a full spectrum camera, the way that he described
yeah,
it.
It's so.
A little more than IR, like a full spectrum made more sense to me.
I want one of those, by the way.
I'm sure you do. You and your gadgets. And so he said he's watching the guy's screen on his camera, and he sees the Bigfoot image. You know, like the shadow, the outline of the person. He sees this, not Bigfoot, but come walking down the center aisle from the back of the room. And you can see the stride. You can see the arms, clear torso, head, something walk down. And it got almost to where it was even with them. And it turned. And he described, like, I could see the arms swing out as it turned. And looked at us and then turned and ran back toward the back of the theater where it had come from and went through the doors, but the doors never moved.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so they all got really excited about it and, you know, said a few words. He said, but
he wouldn't repeat them either.
No, but he said, you know, his wife begged him to tell that story. You've got to tell that story. And he said, you know, he's such a skeptic. And his wife said, his wife who works with him said, you know, he's such a skeptic. When he tells me a story, I believe it. Right. Because he's
not going to make it up.
No, like he doesn't believe half of it. So there's that. Of the groups that have come in, they've all had the same feeling about the place, that it is not negative in any way. Bruce. Everything there is positive. Nothing malevolent.
Aggressive or no. Nothing like that.
Nobody's been pushed down the stairs. Nothing like that. So it all seems to be happy, which is, you know,
it's a theater. Yeah.
That's the kind of energy that it's been filled full of.
Good vibes.
So that's, it's nice. A couple years ago, actually, he said he knew it couldn't have been just a year ago because we've been in the pandemic almost a year. So it was just before. There was a stage manager and a production manager on stage setting up for a show. They were, I guess, the only ones there. The stage manager starts walking across the stage to get something, what have you, and the lights on the stage go out.
Hmm.
Like that.
That noise, huh?
Yeah. And so he showed us the lights, the light switch, and there's several switches that have to be switched for all the lights to go out. And this light switch with all the switches was 20 feet from every person standing there, which was all of two. But neither one of them was close enough to turn off the lights. And so...
And I don't think you could shut them all off at once.
It was weird. It was big.
The way it is set up.
It would have been hard. So... that was interesting. And apparently that's, you know, that's one of the guys that he knows and trusts very well. And one of the first times that he actually came to him was like, dude, something weird happened. There is a traditional theater rail on the stage. And in 2005, before the reopening, they were setting up for a fundraiser. And he showed us how this rail works, which is good because I had no idea. So think of like a pulley system. I've seen these in, you know, movies and stuff, but there's a brake that you have to pull, and then you actually have to like pull a lever down to release this weight. It's a counterweight to whatever is hanging on the stage that's going to lower, when you do it. So, They hadn't been open yet. This was still a fundraiser to get things, you know, still raise funds to support the theater. And they all leave for dinner. And they come back and there is a, like, an old fire curtain that is completely lowered on the stage.
So basically the brake had to be released.
Uh-huh.
And then this big-ass steel...
whatever...
had to be pulled down.
Yeah.
And nobody was around.
No. And all of that, I mean, everything was locked up, you know, like break on and everything.
And he went through the motions with it.
Yeah.
And it was
not easy
for him to lower it.
So, and that was something that he said, that curtain was down, but they didn't even know there was a curtain up there. Like, they hadn't messed with the stuff at all to even know that there was something attached to that certain weight. Mm-hmm. And it had just lowered on its own.
That's cool.
Uh-huh. It's very cool. Whatever.
Whatever.
A little interesting piece of history as we're going through. I'm just walking through the theater. I know you guys can't see that, but I am. Elvis.
The Elvis?
The Elvis to the Presley. he was in town for a concert at the Shrine Mosque, which is... not far. It's also downtown. And Elvis loved movies.
Oh.
Huh? So after sound check, he snuck out and looked down the street and there's a theater. And so he snuck down to the Galois to see a movie.
In the middle of sound check.
And they
couldn't find him.
Yeah. They had to get the police to help find him. And there is a seat with a sign on it there in the back of the theater where he was sitting when the policeman found him and made him go back to work, which is a cool story. I think that's a really cool story.
And I actually have pictures of his seat.
Yeah. And they have the poster from the movie that was playing that day. Not just the poster from the movie. The poster that was there at the theater the day that movie was playing. Mm-hmm. Like, that poster.
The original. The yeah, OG.
Because somebody stole it.
What? Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
And then, I don't know if somebody, I mean, has found this in somebody's belongings or something, but they sent it back to the theater.
Recently.
Yeah. It's not been like years and years ago. And they had it folded up. So this giant poster, like 6 foot tall poster, was folded up into like a paper size to fit in like a manila envelope or something.
Oh my.
And, it just opened right up and it's in amazing condition. I mean, you can see where it was folded, but not what you're thinking. If you weren't looking for that, you wouldn't see it. So,
which amazes me how good it looks.
It's pretty amazing. And a really cool little piece of their history. I think it's really cool that somebody sent that. So if you go up the stairs to the balcony, this is where it really gets good. Okay?
Okay.
So, when I was there, and Amy and Adam were talking, doing their show, they actually like stopped and was like, okay, there is something like pacing up there. It is moving.
So even they noticed something moving. And not even looking really.
It was interesting. They were like, you've definitely got something going on up there. They didn't know anything about the history or the stories surrounding the theater. I mean, I guess you could, you know, devil's advocate, say they could have looked it up. Yeah, they could have, but really?
Well, they even, yeah.
They were on a 3-day tour, 3 cities in 3 days. I don't think they were taking the time to research those places, so. But they might have been, just because. So, if you go up the stairs to the balcony area, when you're out in the lobby of the balcony area, there's stories that date back to the 1950s. This is the biggest story out there about the Gilroys. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this one. 10 to 12 year old little boy dressed like a newsie is what he described him as. So just think the flat hat with the short pants, white shirt, chewing bubblegum. I don't know about that part.
Chewing bubblegum.
And he's just kind of playing around the area. And that area is now the concession stand. And interesting story is the bathrooms used to be there. And so there's a ton of stories out there about this little boy and how he plays near the bathrooms. But it's the concession area now. And so everybody talks about him playing outside the bathrooms. And so those fakers will come in and be like, yeah, I saw the little boy playing out there at the bathrooms.
What bathrooms?
Yeah, the bathrooms, the location where the bathrooms are now is like a newer building. And not even
on the same level.
We know that those people are probably lying. And it's actually the concession area where he plays now. So, if you see a little boy by the bathrooms, you're the only one. Or maybe not. Maybe there's two little boys.
I never know.
So, that is the most told story of the Gilroys. Let's talk about a couple experiences people have had in the balcony area, like actual seating area of the balcony. There was a volunteer whose story we learned. She was cleaning up after a show. And it was her and another guy that she works with. And the other guy was somewhere else in the theater. She was cleaning one of the boxes. And this box in particular is about 15 feet off of the ground. She's sweeping, bending over, and she gets a pat on the butt.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, she whirls around because she's thinking this is the guy who she's working with just picking on her. And she realizes her back is to open space and a 15-foot drop. And there's no, no way somebody was standing behind her. So she hurries and runs to find that guy thinking, okay, I don't know how he did it, but he's screwing with me. Mm-hmm. And she finds him working in a way off part of the theater when she finally finds him.
There's no way he would have done, yeah. have done that.
So that's fun. There was another volunteer who I love, love, love this because if I worked or volunteered in that theater, I would do the same thing. She said before the theater opened, before performances, before everybody was allowed in, she would go and sit in the theater in the quiet and just kind of take it in before everything started. And I'm like,
sounds great, don't it?
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
And so she did that often. And on two occasions, the same thing happened. She has long, pretty hair. And she felt fingers running through her hair.
Blah.
And she turned. She turned and nobody's there. And then the fingers start running through her hair again. And she said, stop it. And it stopped.
Wow.
Yeah. But then it came back and did it again later. So there's that. But every time that she said, stop it, it stopped. Or he stopped or she stopped. Whomever that it was. So.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice ghost that doesn't want to
so flirt, piss off the ladies. Like.
Yes. So, interesting you said that. Because the balcony area where Amy and Adam were pointing saying they saw something is actually an interesting spot to see things. That's where the projection room is located.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think.
Duh.
On New Year's Eve, 1962, they were having a midnight showing of Two for the Seesaw. And there was a man, a projectionist, working. His name is Martin Kirshner. He had worked there since it opened in 1926. That's 30
years. He must have loved it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. At 10 till midnight, the general manager came in to check on him, make sure everything's good. We're ready to go. Let's get this on. It's going to be great.
Let's do this.
And everything's great. Everything's ready. Martin's pumped.
He's pumped, huh?
Yeah. Martin's wife is seated right outside the door for the show. So she gets to come and watch the show and hang out with her husband. Midnight comes and nothing happens.
No show?
Film doesn't start. So the audience starts stomping their feet.
I don't know how to make that sound.
Me neither. The GM, whose office is below that, can hear the stomping and is like, ooh, something's going on. So he goes up to the projection booth and say, yo, Martin, what the hell? And he found Martin dead from a massive heart attack.
In 10 minutes?
In 10 minutes. Sometime between 11:50 and midnight, wow. Martin died of a massive heart attack. So.
That's insane. So Martin's still hanging out.
The very area where Amy and Adam saw the shadows and saw someone pacing is what they said. And where volunteers have been touched is the area where we have a known death in the place.
Makes sense.
It makes so much sense because not only was it just some guy that died, okay?
He spent 30 some years
yes,
there.
Yes. He obviously cared for the place mm-hmm. or, I mean, he's attached to it. Has to be.
Oh, yeah. That's his home.
With all those years. And so there was also a few things that came to light. Rumors. Let's say rumors. Let's just say rumors. That make them think that Martin may have been a flirt or a ladies' man, and so they blame him for those kind of flirty things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Yeah. So the interesting thing, another interesting thing about this is the numbers 2 and 6. So they have a 26 club where you join, you know, pay a fee and you're part of the club and you get early sales on tickets, discounts mm-hmm. on food, that kind of stuff. So and they did that because of this strange coincidence with 2 and 6. They opened in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 1962, at the age of 62, Martin died.
Wow.
Yes. And they were closed from 1980 to 2006, 26 years.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, that's... I mean, I'm sure there's probably more once you start noticing those things. I'm sure people can find others, but it's still interesting. That's so,
cool. Yeah, for sure.
Martin hanging out
in the balcony.
Yeah.
Ready to play some shows.
The last place we're going to talk about location within the theater is the GM office, which is located outside in the lobby outside the balcony or under the balcony. Like I said, the GM office was underneath the balcony. So you go out. The GM office is in the same corridor where the concession stand is. And there is a story that is quite new to at least the Steels about, I think it was, I'm not sure if she was a volunteer, if she was just coming back to visit after she'd worked there in the 50s or whatever, but she said that she couldn't tell you how many times, couldn't count the number of times that she saw a woman in a yellow dress walk out of the GM office, look down the corridor past the bathrooms at the time, and then turn and walk back into the office.
Yeah. You think she's keeping an eye on the little boy?
It does sound like it. Mm-hmm. You know, he told the story about, you know, his mom taking him to work and telling him, you play and you stay right here. And every now and then she has to come out and look down the hallway and make sure you're where you're supposed to be and go back to work.
Like, that makes sense.
It makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think she's been seen in a long, long time. So I don't know if maybe her presence just wasn't as strong as the little boy. And I don't know how long it's been since the little boy has been seen there, but it's still pretty interesting to think that they may be linked together.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's a really nice, I mean,
I like to think they are.
Yeah. But both of those two, if they're the same thing happening over and over again, are residual. And so they're not really there. It's just a scene playing out mm-hmm. over and over again. Which, you know, I mean, let's think, if she's a single mom, she's bringing her kid to work with her every day and just... He's like, yes, but I don't know. I think it's really cool. I think it's very cool, actually. So I would like to go there and investigate sometime, but with residual activity like that, and I guess I should tell the story about Dad, because he had an experience, which was, in hindsight, pretty eerie.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he texted me and you mm-hmm. to tell us about his experience in real time when it happened. And then
it happened.
Whenever we read the text, new things had come to light.
Right.
So here's what happened. My dad, we were walking up the stairs. Was it the stairs to the projection room?
Yeah.
I thought so. We were walking up the stairs to the projection room. And my dad, who I think is more sensitive than he realizes, hears a voice in his head because he's crazy. No.
He heard the voice before we was going up there.
I thought so.
We was going up to the balcony.
Yeah.
And he texts us, and then we didn't answer because we was listening to the door. And then finally he's like, look at your phone.
Yeah.
When we was going up to the projection room.
Yeah. We get up to the projection room and we're leaving the projection room when he tells me, look at your phone. And I was like, okay. Because I saw him when we got to the top of the stairs and we were talking about the little boy. I saw him pull out his phone and send a message. And then we stood there a few minutes and I saw him pull out his phone and send another message. And I was thinking, Dad, put your phone away. That's rude. Anyway, I pull out my phone to look and see what he sent me. And he sent me, I just heard a voice in my head. I just heard a man's voice say, I died here.
And then we heard the story.
Yeah. Well, I had already heard the story before I read the text message because I didn't pay attention to him until after.
Right. And I listened right before we got into the projection room. Yeah. And I just kept staring at Kevin whenever your dad, whenever we was listening to the story. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. So that's a very, very interesting thing. He asked them if they had anybody who ever reported anything about voices or anything like that. And they said no. He did say that there was a woman whose children came to work with her. The daughter would say something about hearing strange things. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that was just isolated. So, that's very interesting.
Agree.
Because he didn't know that story. Again, I guess you could say he looked it up, but I don't see Dad doing that. But
yeah, it was cool.
It was cool. I was like, what? Because I had just heard the story of Martin, and I knew when he sent the text because I saw him do it.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was texting me.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, who the heck is he texting right now? Because he's so into the history of things.
Uh-huh.
I was like, why is he on his phone?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
That's crazy. It is crazy.
And to be honest, even though it's my dad, I don't know if I'd have believed him.
We've been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm like, sure you did.
But did he?
But then, I mean, he sent us the text before we heard the story.
And I don't think he would send us a text to interrupt all this.
No.
Over something that was,
no.
Yeah, fake. I think it's cool.
It's very cool.
He needs to tap into it a little more.
So, the Gilroys.
Is awesome.
It is awesome. I think we should go back. I mean, I definitely will go back to, like, shows and stuff like that.
And I think I'm going to volunteer for sure.
You're cute.
I think it'd be fun for me to have, like, a somewhere to work like that. Just a no worries, basically. And help and clean. Just something that's away from medical field.
Yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And they also, so they have memberships where you can join for like, I don't remember the dollar amount, but if you go to their website, they do have memberships and you get like food credits and early access to tickets. I believe I shouldn't speak for them, but and like the one that's a pretty big deal is like $100.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
for a year, or do you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. We should look into it.
I'm thinking about it. especially since, I mean, once they get going again, I've looked at some of the stuff that they've had before, and they've got some really good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we should do that. I like it.
Me too.
And they were fantastic people. We're going to end up going to all these other theaters and be like, well, we have to join them now.
You don't break us on these kind of things.
We must support the arts. But no, it was a lot of fun and they were absolutely fantastic.
He did an amazing job on the tour.
He loves that place.
Yeah. You can tell it's how beautiful. Much they both love it.
Yeah. And so yeah, I would recommend it.
They gave us like a book about the place and some
postcards
and stuff. It was really cool.
It was very cool. We got loaded down with swag.
Swag.
Wow. Okay, so we don't have any reviews this week, but I wanted to talk about why we were late on our episode.
Oh gosh, here we go.
God. Okay, so last week sucked.
All week?
Pretty much. I mean, we had like snowpocalypse, right?
Yeah, but you got to work from home.
That's true.
You didn't even get out of your pajamas once, I don't think.
Yes, I did.
When?
When I went to get my vaccine.
Oh, there it is.
And that's the other part of this. So I got my second vaccine shot.
You guys.
You know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. I was ready to full on die.
God.
Yeah.
The way you acted, I thought you was.
Okay. You're making it sound so much worse than it. I slept a lot.
Yeah, but what happened when I tried to get you to wake up for a few minutes to so you could sleep at night? Tell the story. Come on.
You were mean to me.
The only thing I said was, hey, babe, you need to get up or you won't sleep tonight. And full-blown, big tears in her eyes. Why are you being so mean to me? And I'm like, what? What? And then what happened that night?
I stayed up until 4 a.m.
And I had to wake up and go to work at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
It was what?
So, listen. Here's my experience. My arm felt like it was going to literally fall off after about 12 hours.
Okay.
After the shot. And then I had my sister stay with me because I didn't feel good staying by myself.
Because I was at work Thursday.
Yes. And so luckily she did because
she had a babysitter.
It wasn't until like 5:30 in the morning. So I go to bed that night. I was feeling really tired, but I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to get through this. And I went to sleep. I took a Tylenol PM just to head off any fever or anything. And I woke up about 5:30 freezing. I thought the power had went out and we had no heat. I was so cold. And I'm laying there thinking, just go back to sleep, just go back to sleep. But I had to pee really bad too. So,
oh dear.
Yeah. So I got up, went to the bathroom, and I was shaking so bad I could barely even walk from chills.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Oh, and so geez. I yelled at my sister, Jamie.
And she's probably like, mm.
So I have her get our heavy blanket. We have this comforter that's like faux fur and it's so heavy. It will so burn warm. You up.
Yeah.
And so I had her bring that in to me. And then I'm like, you got to get me some more Tylenol. I've got to be running fever. And I checked. I didn't have any fever. I was just chilling like a villain. It was so bad.
Chilling like a villain.
And oh, I'm shaking, and she brings me some water and Tylenol. Bless her heart. She was so good to me. And I'm like, I can barely hold the water and the pills because I'm shaking so bad. I've never been so cold ever. And I fell back asleep. Luckily, fell back asleep. Terry comes home.
Yeah, you told me. I was going to go to the gym before I came home because I knew I was going to let you sleep in, you and Jamie. Mm-hmm. And I get a text at 5 a.m. Come home to me. I need you. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. This is going to be an awful day.
And so it begins. This is great. So Terry comes home.
I bring you donuts.
Yes. And then she left to take Jamie home. And I laid back down. And I didn't know anything until after 3.
Which is okay because I ran my booty off at work, so I came home and lay down with you and I was out as well.
But I would like half wake up and be like freezing, and then I would wake up and be like burning up. It was so dumb. It was like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I ran a high fever on
Saturday.
Yeah, my fever got up to almost 102. But just for like an hour or two.
Well, you wouldn't know. You went to sleep.
That's true. And I had a headache pretty much the entire time. But other than that, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
It was more worse on me than it was
you. I believe that.
At least you admit it.
Made it through. And I'm 95% immune. So bring on the world.
Oh, dear.
Unless you have a variant. Stay the hell away from me then.
But anyway, the reason the episode's late is because we usually record Friday or Saturday because I worked Sunday.
Yes.
Thank God. I was ready to go back to work.
It was not happening. I couldn't. There was no way. It would have been the worst episode ever. I'd have been like, you guys.
I don't feel good.
So anyway, that's fun.
There's that. And she says that I'm a wuss when I'm sick.
You're the worst.
Whoa. What?
100 times worse than me.
No.
Yeah.
Don't even.
Hands down.
Not even. I don't keep you up to 4 a.m. Oh.
All right. Anyway.
Oh, but that's fine. I love you and I would do it all over again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So.
You could admit or tell the people how good of a nurse I am.
You are a good nurse.
Wow, that sounded very positive.
Well, at one point you made me cry, so.
For your better good.
For my better good. Okay. So,
anyway, sorry. Anyway, enough of that.
That's why it's late. I also had a shit ton of homework to do because I was, you know.
She was dying.
Yeah, I was dying. All that stuff. So, so that's why we're late. And I'm sorry, but I hope you enjoy it. Did I make a weird noise?
I'm sorry.
I poked myself in the nose.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. The Gilloys is amazing. Go there. If you want to see a concert and anybody's there that you like, dude, you're going to be so close to them.
Dude.
Dude, no matter where you sit, you're going to be so close to them. You should go. You should do it. It's great.
Pay attention to all the art.
Yeah.
If you ever go there.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Look at everything.
And we'll post some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make Shayla do it like tonight. Oh, tomorrow? Oh, when?
We'll talk about it.
Before the next episode, at least.
No, I don't know. We'll see.
God.
It could happen. I guess we will talk murder soon. We'll have to figure out a time to do a live again because we want to do a live again. So I think we'll probably just watch some paranormal videos and talk about them.
I like it.
Yeah. So
we miss our people.
Yeah. We have so much fun on those. So anyway, have a great week. Stay healthy.
Stay safe.
Yes. We love you guys so much.
Bye.